VaroCast, MovieVaro.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site. I'm here with many guests for our year in review of 2010. I know it's a little late for maybe for some people, but we're going to do it now. We'll have a nice preview pretty soon as well. So we have Nick Butler, the owner of the site. How's it going, Nick?
Pretty good.
And as he coughs, very nice. And we have Chris, who's a reporter for the site. Hi, Chris.
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And we have Jeremy, who's a friend of Nick's, but also has written for GamingViral.com. How's it going, Jeremy?
Hello, everybody.
All right. And we have a very special guest, Mr. Zach Oldenburg. How's it going, Zach?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Tell us a little about yourself, Zach, since you're new to all of this entirely.
I'm kind of bad with that. Why don't you ask me a question? How about we do that?
All right. Well, what makes you aware of our site that like that kind of gets you even to be on here?
I'm big in movies. I'm big on movies, and I just kind of have like a little pool of sites that I check out. I check your guys' out. I check your tweets out. So I kind of wanted to jump on the opportunity to participate in this podcast here.
Well, thank you. Very
I think
much.
It'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a little freewheeling. We always, if anybody who listens to our podcast knows, we don't really have much structure. We try sometimes, but it's challenging. I think sometimes that's some of the best ones is when they're not too structured. So to kind of do a year in review, I think first we'll kind of go on to the more general stuff. So we'll start with film news. That was what do you guys think were some of the biggest film stories this year? I know that from my standpoint, it all kind of goes around Comic-Con because I went there. But let's start with Zach, since he's Mr. New Guy here. What do you think were some of the really big things that we either learned or some of the things that happened this year that were pretty interesting to you?
You know what? I'm drawing a blank, to be honest with you. I mean, if we throw one out there, I could touch on it. But
okay.
I was surprised by the reception of Piranha 3D.
The positive or negative?
It was positive, yeah. Mostly.
Except for Scott.
That surprised me.
I was surprised that was an actual movie that they're making. I thought it was a parody all the way through.
Well, it is a parody, basically.
That,
well, yeah, come to think of it, it is. 2-hour parody.
With that having been said, I think I was a little bit surprised by the lack of... The lack of money that Scott Pilgrim made.
Yeah, that's probably one of the
Scott Pilgrim was just like one hell of a ride. And I think that in particular, that was kind of, it didn't really have too well of a turnout for Edgar Wright, who's just like awesome at what he does. Mm-hmm. It kind of blew me away, especially at how well received it was, you know, at Comic-Con. It was a Comic-Con, I know that.
Right. Yeah, it was actually.
And they ate that up there.
Yeah, I got a really good buzz from the geek community. I think that was kind of the movie where people started wondering whether the whole Twitter and all that stuff actually meant anything, because I think we posted in Alex wrote an article about Twitter's top 10 things of the year, and one of them was the movies, and Scott Pilgrim was actually up there as one of the most tweeted movies, and I think people were kind of wondering whether all this stuff really matters if a movie like Scott Pilgrim can't, you know, has to reach the masses. And it wasn't apparently doing that. It was reaching its target audience really well, but it almost didn't need to because that audience was already there, maybe. I think that was one of the more interesting things about that. And I think people kind of started trying to pull that in and putting that onto Tron Legacy, which is interesting, about whether – because Tron Legacy was really kind of playing towards its bases as opposed to, you know, trying to more reach out. So I think maybe that did hurt. I mean, I think one of the things I saw about Tron Legacy, I didn't think it did as well as I thought it could. I don't know about you guys.
I feel like with that, though, is its target audience was the digital, the gaming crowd. But that crowd in particular is the same crowd that will sit home on a Friday night and download the movie before it comes out rather than venturing out with a car full of friends to see it. And I feel like that, you know, that's not very hot for making a successful movie in general.
No, I'm glad you said it.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, people were interested in actually going to see the movie this year, which was nice. I mean, there's a lot of movies, and they always make the list of the most pirated movies of the year. And that was, you know, I don't think Scott Pilgrim was that high on it even, but and Wolverine, but, you know, a good example from last year, 2009, I mean, Wolverine was one of the most pirated movies and it was, you know, still made tons of money. Avatar was, one of the most also, and it still made a lot of money.
I think Avatar was the top one.
Yeah.
No, District 9 is.
I don't think that's true at all.
It was. Avatar came really close, but District 9 was the most,
all right.
most pirated.
Let's I don't agree with that.
Trust me, I would know.
Let's go to the judges.
How about Tangled, Chris? How'd Tangled do?
Oh, Tangled didn't get any. What the...
How did Nanny McPhee Returns do? Did that rank up pretty high there, or was that kind of?
I'm telling you, it's funny.
They made that movie.
Yeah, they made money too. I actually.
Dad, what did you see it?
No, I work.
Okay,
no,
all right.
I work at a second run movie theater as well as a manager, and so that's one of the things you really see is the trends that people do. And I'm telling you, kids movies. It doesn't matter how crappy a kids movie is. Parents would go take their kids to see it, especially at a discount theater. So, I mean, it's something where it doesn't really matter how good those movies are. It's like, as long as it has some sort of base, then it'll do well. That's why Yogi Bear was doing okay, even though, like, it looks like complete junk. And, but then there's, yeah, it sucks because then there are smarter films, like a Scott Pilgrim, or I think even, was Kick-Ass this year? I can't even remember anymore.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that didn't do as well, I think, as it could have, and I thought that was a pretty badass movie, so... You know, there's some smart.
But I think in the long run, I was really glad Kick-Ass pulled through enough to secure a sequel because yeah, Kick-Ass really. Was just an awesome film.
Yeah, and it did well on DVD too, I think, so that really helps.
I feel like it eked by just enough to kind of secure its sequel, which, mm-hmm. you know, thumbs up for that.
Yeah, I think another big story of the year is Inception sort of, I think, crept up on people. Like, I remember we'd heard about it, and obviously it's Christopher Nolan, but then, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, a couple weeks before the movie comes out, there's tons and tons of good reviews, and it's just, like, the buzz just out of nowhere just started building and building. I mean, and then obviously it did really well, and it looked to be a crazy movie that some people were talking about it being maybe possibly, you know, up there for Best Picture even.
A lot of people I talked to thought it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, which says a lot. So,
I personally, that's a little bit not accurate.
I know,
but definitely, I know a lot of people do believe that kind of same thing too. I mean,
it's not critics or anything, just people.
Yeah, what's interesting for me because that was a movie where the premise was a little bit kind of complicated for people.
And it still did really well.
Right, whereas
a little complicated, not too much.
There's still people that didn't get what it was really about beforehand. I mean. But then there's something
The beginning was so
good. But even people who didn't get it still liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how that's possible. I think they were so blown away that like they didn't understand it so much that they knew it was good.
Well, I think it's the way that Christopher
I think
Nolan
I get
works.
It oh, I get more argument. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, definitely, Zach.
That I think that launches more arguments than any film I've seen this year, especially at parties. If somebody gets drunk and for some reason someone brings up Inception, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
All hell breaks loose. That's one of the most argued films I think I've ever had the opportunity to see.
What?
It's the ending.
Yeah, no, that's the ending is what really.
They all look. Yeah, they all look for me especially to give them the answer to the ending. Like I have some sort of. tin can phone with Christopher Nolan, I could set up, you know, what the hell happened at the end.
Yeah, I think it's
you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to answer anything.
Well,
just
exactly.
Leave it.
I think,
I
think that, you know, everyone has their interpretations of it, and, you know, obviously he did that on purpose to make you want to interpret that. You know, he has his ending. I think he mentioned that even, that he knows what's real and what's not real. But he doesn't want you to know because I don't think that's the important thing of the film. It's all about the character development.
Michael Caine ruined it, though. He said it was.
He doesn't know, probably.
No, but other people have said like, yeah, other actors have said other things, and set designers have said things. It's just there really is no correct answer.
Only Christopher Nolan knows. And but yeah, definitely something where it was really. I think Tron Legacy actually has a really big. Maybe not in the same way, but the controversy behind it in terms of some people loved it, some people hated it. I think that had even more kind of – that's one of the movies of the year I think had the biggest polar opinions. I mean, there are people who love that movie and there are people who hate that movie. It's really weird. I mean, I liked it a lot. But
I was really in the middle. I thought – I really liked the film, but I thought the ending was kind of like, eh.
I liked the ending.
That was just – I was like, eh. Yeah. I don't know. That's...
For which one?
For Tron Legacy.
Before we move any more into Tron Legacy, has anyone here watched Inception twice?
Yes.
In theaters or in general?
In general, just twice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you guys fall asleep the second time?
No.
No, I didn't.
No.
No.
Nope. How could you fall asleep for that movie?
I did. I fell asleep.
If you have epilepsy. Really?
No.
Do you have epilepsy?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You must hate Tron Legacy. Why would you put it on if you were going to fall asleep?
Oh, please. I really tried. It's just that the second half is all Call of Duty. Pretty much.
It's intense, though. It's very intense.
Too simple the second time around. If you got it the first time, it's not that part of the fun is not there anymore. And then it just gets so bland that
I liked it better the second time.
That was a little disappointing when I saw it the first time. Just a little.
Really?
Wow.
So it went over someone's head.
Oh. Everyone has their opinions, and that's okay.
I think I liked it better the second.
I still haven't
liked it better the second time. I think I liked it better just because I took friends to it, and I was that guy that like, look it, watch, ready, watch, look it, yes, or watch this part, ready. Did you get that? Did you guys get that? I think I was that guy more the second time.
Yeah,
totally ruined the ending for it right before it came up. I was like, guys, watch what happens here.
Nice. Well,
you are such a dick. I'm sorry.
I didn't do that. I apologize. I will retract that statement.
So Inception was the fifth highest grossing movie domestically last year. Do you guys remember what the first one was?
The Last Airbender?
No.
No.
It did well, actually, but no.
That's sad.
That's an interesting story.
The last fifth grossing movie of the year?
What was the highest grossing film of last year domestically?
Of last year?
No, did Transformers come out?
No, 2010.
Last year? Oh, no, Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah. Well, Avatar came out. It came out 2 years ago, technically.
Which movie
but...
was released last year that made the most money? Domestic.
I have no idea. I was going to say The Social Network.
I would say Harry Potter.
Oh, I forgot about Harry Potter.
No.
No. Really?
How about Toy Story 3?
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Toy Story 3.
Highest grossing animated film of all time. What do you guys think of it? Have you guys all seen it? Or...
I saw it. Great movie. It was great.
I will say right now, unless you remember your childhood, you will not enjoy this movie if you don't remember your childhood.
That's just not true.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Wait, you're saying since if the only way you won't enjoy it is if you don't remember your childhood.
You won't enjoy it if you don't remember your childhood.
How do you forget your entire childhood?
What?
I have no idea. I guess maybe
Jason Bourne
or epilepsy. I don't know.
Oh my god. No, okay. You have to feel connection to your childhood.
But how did you?
I'm gonna get a letter from somebody.
Oh my god.
I think the point he's trying to make is that everyone will enjoy it, except for like Jason Bourne.
You know, there's actually, and I read this article on it, and I think some of you might have read the article too. And it was that Toy Story 3 had so many connections to the Holocaust.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Awesome article.
A lot of connections.
Right now,
I have to read that.
There were like it makes a really compelling case.
And I'm
just saying it for people who haven't read the article. Google it. Read it up, because it's good. It's good art.
Toy Story has always had a lot of references, too.
To the Holocaust? No.
No.
I've never heard that
like
before.
Many movies and
yeah,
and other things.
But it's not supposed to be. It's just an interpretation of it. But...
Yeah, that's interesting, though. But
they're quote-unquote homages, not ripoffs.
Homages.
How do you say it?
Homage. Homage.
I think it's homage. Homage.
Yeah, but either way.
Okay, Mr. Fancy and grammar and spelling.
To each his own.
There you go. Another one of the higher gross movies, the third actually, Iron Man 2. I know a lot of people were actually disappointed in that movie. That was kind of a bigger story. It was like it felt more commercial or forced, to try to fit with the whole Avengers thing. So, I mean, you guys saw the first one. Were you guys disappointed in it?
It wasn't as good as the first, but it was still a good movie.
I enjoyed it.
See, I disagree. I think it was on about the caliber of the first. I didn't watch it as somebody who read the comic books wanting this, like, unachievable movie that every comic book movie eventually turns into, i.e. Batman or even coming up Thor. But I saw it as, especially the performance of Robert Downey Jr. in that movie was just amazing, and I liked it just as much as the first one.
I definitely had some really interesting dynamics that I liked about it. you know, like the whole him being drunk in the suit and everything, and you know, and having to deal with that too, and having to kind of build himself up. But I thought it was interesting that the way they took it. Did you guys like Mickey Rourke?
I did. I was just gonna say it. That's the reason that I didn't like the movie as much as the first, just because I didn't agree with Mickey Rourke. Sam Rockwell killed it. I just didn't like Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, so
I thought Sam Rockwell was great.
He always kills it.
Absolutely.
I like Mickey Rourke.
Villain felt like a Russian, whoever he's from, buffed up version of the Joker.
Interesting.
He felt like that to me. Like being all mysterious, talking, and
isn't that every villain really?
Not really.
No, not every villain.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I think isn't it out now that Favreau's not directing 3?
Yeah, he's not directing. Yeah. 3. He's going to be producer still, though, but he's not going to direct.
All right. Well, I was surprised by that.
Well, I think that, you know,
because I think it was like a month before it came out that he had this idea planned to. It's. I think the third one is supposed to like kind of connect all the movies, right?
It takes place after
more of them.
I think it takes place after the Avengers. So the idea is it's another stepping stone towards the second Avengers movie.
Right.
Is the concept.
I was surprised by that though.
But I think you know, like a lot of directors, you know, you only want to direct the same thing, you know, so many times. And you want to move on and do other things. I mean, so I think that's kind of what he had said in his interviews. Like he's going to continue to produce, but as far as directing goes, he wants to try different things, and that's pretty common for directors. They want to do different things.
I wonder if he'll still be in it.
I think he might.
No, of course. He's still a producer, and that's a lot of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I still want to be in it. I think he seemed to enjoy that small role. I think the real movie...
He is an actor.
Yeah. The real movie we need to talk about is Step Up 3D. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No, really, it's Letters to Juliet. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next half hour.
In 3D.
What the fuck is that?
Letters to Juliet in 3D.
Oh, God.
This summer. Read like you've never before.
If you liked Toy Story 3's Holocaust references, you're going to love Letter to Juliet's Holocaust references.
Oh, man.
The number one movie to ruin your intellect.
Oh, man. So, I probably kind of briefly mentioned this earlier. One of the other big stories this year was The Social Network. I mean, it did really well in the box office, but it also got crazy good reviews, and it's winning tons of awards already right now. And it's something where I remember when it first came out that this movie was being made, or like, what, you're making a Facebook movie? It sounds silly. It was around the same time I think we heard about the Monopoly movie from Ridley Scott or something like that. Like so people were just kind of thinking like, oh, geez, this sounds stupid. But it turned out to be pretty amazing the way that it's portrayed. Did you guys see it? What did you guys think of it, especially considering it's, you know, quote unquote, a Facebook movie?
I was surprised by the initial reaction. People said, oh, you're going to make a Facebook movie. I was actually, like, I was pretty excited because I knew that they could make Mark Zuckerberg into that character of the kind of badass, intelligent guy that did Facebook for these reasons and hated everybody. So I was surprised by the initial reactions. I really liked the film, but I don't know. I have a problem when the critics that do, like, the Oscars and all those, the movie awards, I have a problem. The movies they pick, I don't seem to normally like.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's getting all these the nominations, I don't like that.
Oh. There's a few in there. I kind of like that a lot, too. Like, I remember the year that Slumdog won. I didn't watch any of the movies. And then after it won, I was like, okay, I'll watch a few of them. And then I watched Slumdog. I really liked it. Slumdog Millionaire was actually a really good movie. So there's times where I definitely disagree, like No Country for Old Men. And they sometimes go really pompous, like Shakespeare in Love and stuff. But sometimes they get it right. I mean, Indiana Jones at least was nominated. I can't remember if it won or not, Best Picture. But it was at least nominated. So, they sometimes get it right, you know.
I loved Social Network. I felt
this
like
is
within
creepy.
I felt within like the first couple minutes of the movie when I heard that like you know, grungy, unpolished Trent Reznor score. I knew we weren't in for like a cookie cutter Facebook film. I knew we were all full on David Fincher, and I felt like it was a flawless movie. I really love it. You know, straight through and through, 100%. I think it's a great movie.
That's a great script.
I got it pre-ordered. Nice. I read the script too. I love it.
Yeah,
great movie.
Aaron Sorkin's a great writer. He did The West Wing. For people who don't know, I think if you watch The West Wing, you'll start seeing the comparisons there and the way that they talk so fast, and it's really just smart dialogue.
Is there any action? Any fights or anything?
Well, there's a race.
it's not really that kind of movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
sorry,
mostly
Chris.
Dialogue.
And that also surprised me that how much money it made for the type of movie it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people just saw it because it was the Facebook movie.
Yeah. And like I said, the reviews do help, especially movies that really are dramatic, I think, tend to get more people that are looking at reviews. Because
right.
You don't get the instant high concept gimmick that draws you in. So you tend to have to kind of go, oh, I wonder what this really is about and stuff. So the Facebook gimmick wasn't even enough, I don't think, for a lot of people. Because I know a lot of people were like, what's Facebook? When
What?
Yeah, I swear. Again, I work.
No, who do you know?
I don't know. It's not somebody I know. I work at a movie theater.
No, that's still not okay.
I want their names.
Yeah. Are you getting on? Is this on MySpace that you're talking
about? No, it's Daily Booth.
Or is it Friendster? Are you going back to Friendster?
All my friends.
Are these your photo bucket contacts?
Oh, jeez. On my GeoCities page, I'm just saying. Oh, man.
God.
Well, you AOL instant message them.
I will. Bring back memories. Anyway.
Terrible, terrible memories.
All right, so.
Dial up now.
All right, so I'll have everyone go through and tell me what was your favorite movie of the year and what was your most disappointing movie of the year that you saw. I know. So I'll give you guys the steal of it for a second, and I'll do mine. The movie my favorite movie of the year, which might be kind of maybe a little surprising. I think Chris might like this. Tangled. I really liked that movie, especially because it surprised me. I didn't think it'd be much to it, and I was really surprised by how good it was. So that was my favorite movie of the year. I think the movie I was most disappointed in that I saw, that one I'm actually not as sure about. Maybe Prince of Persia. I thought that'd be better for some reason. It was all right, but I just thought it'd be better.
Wait. You chose Prince of Persia over Skyline?
No. Hey, you even read my review? Skyline, I thought, was better than everyone thought it was going to be.
I did read your review.
It was complete trash to everyone, and I was like, hey, this actually has some pretty cool stuff in it. So it definitely wasn't the most disappointing. Maybe it's not the best quality overall as compared to all of them. Oh, no, Daybreakers is probably my most disappointing. I think it missed a lot of things it could have done. So that's my. Okay, I'll go with Nick. I'll go with Mr. Owner here.
My favorite film is probably a tie between
Twilight.
Between Toy Story 3 and The Social Network. It's probably a tie. And my most disappointing movie, and I didn't see this, but I was disappointed. Actually, I had a great time reading the reviews because it was so funny. Was The Last Airbender. It was just, I'll tell you, if you haven't read the reviews for that, you need to, because they said the most hurtful things.
Except for Ron Wright, I think he gave it a good review. I can't remember.
Well, fuck him. But I laughed for days over the reviews. They were just the funniest little sentences they would throw in there. Look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. It's hilarious. So that's my most disappointing.
All right, I'll go Chris. What about you?
Well, obviously it's Tangled. It's no surprise.
No.
But
definitely no surprise.
First
right?
Century, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would say disappointing movie. I'm thinking Let Me In, but I am kneeling more to Inception. Because
really? Interesting.
Because it was more disappointing because I thought it would be a lot more. Hmm. You know? I'm not saying Inception is a worse film than Let Me In, but Let Me In, I got what I wanted delivered differently, but I got it. And Inception, I didn't get what I thought it was going to get or what I wanted. I got 25-30% less.
And that reminds me, tied for worst is Buried. I did not like the ending at all.
I didn't see that movie.
Yeah.
All right, how about you, Jeremy?
Well, I have to say, you know, ignoring some of the more popular ones, the most surprising best movie was Megamind to me. I loved Megamind. I thought that was a really good movie, especially for a kid's movie. And especially after I saw Despicable Me, and I just lost all my will to see any animated film ever again.
Aww.
my least favorite film of the year was, I don't know if anybody even saw this, but The American.
Oh, yeah.
Had to be the worst movie I have ever seen.
Yeah, that was something where...
Didn't George Clooney in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I had no desire to see that movie, and that's probably why.
Why you didn't see it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I got really bad reviews when it came out, too, so that's why I didn't make
money. Should have been 3D.
There we go. 3D. I would have solved everything.
That's why.
It would have made more money. How about you, Zach?
I think for me, one of my favorites, or what's the tie between Inception and easily The Social Network, just because they have so much replay value for me, and they're still just good films as a whole that, you know, I got them on Blu-ray, so, you know, my money's there. I think I was most disappointed with MacGruber, just because I think it, my fault, I set the bar way too high for MacGruber. Just because, you know, Yorma Taccone from The Lonely Island, he was behind it. You know, The Lonely Island in general, you know, they lent to MacGruber. Will Forte, I feel like the whole thing was, it had the ingredients to be a great film, comedy-wise, but it just didn't, it didn't hold its own.
Yeah, the skits are funny.
I don't know.
Which happens with a lot of SNL films.
I mean, it's I don't even know. The only movie that I can think of top of my head that really went did well was Wayne's World. I mean, I think some other ones had some okay success.
Night at the Roxbury's.
Yeah, that's
some. That was okay.
It did okay, yeah. But I think in terms of like real success, I mean, it's really like Wayne's World. I mean, so they keep trying to dig that well, go back to that well, but it's just it's tough. I mean, they keep remembering Wayne's World, and I mean, but some of them are funny. Like I like Ladies Man, even though it obviously has its flaws. It's funny, and then I think Night at the Roxbury is hilarious. So I mean, they definitely. Some of them are good. They just it's hard for them to gain traction. I think if you're not a big fan of the skits. And obviously, sometimes it's hard to make those things into a full-length feature. They don't really lend themselves to that all the time.
Especially, I think a lot of people liked the skits but didn't have faith in the film as a whole.
I think it had a lot of potential. I mean, the idea of doing a, you know, a mock, you know, a mock, sort of like a spoof of MacGyver is, you know, a good idea. Obviously, I don't think it was executed the best
way. It's surprising, though, that they did it for that skit, because it's so short. It's like a 10-second skit on the show.
Exactly.
So, but like
they're really testing the concept.
right, yeah. Mm. And they failed.
There we go. All right. So I think before we start doing some brow stuff, the one last movie thing I want to talk about, unless someone else has something interesting, is this for me. I just remember just a couple weeks ago, I think, when I found out about this, and it just flabbergasted me. The movie How Do You Know? It's a romantic comedy with Reese Witherspoon and Paul Rudd and Jack Nicholson, right? And it's like, whatever, it's a romantic comedy. And it only made like $28 million, which is nothing. It cost $120 million to make.
Wow.
Yeah. How do these romantic comedy whatever cost so much money?
And they usually don't. That's the point. My understanding from what I had read an article about this, it was $50 million alone was towards salary for all the talent. But still, that's a $70 million movie.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Reese Witherspoon is really fucking hot. How about that?
That's not enough reason to spend $120 million.
Megan
Fox is really hot, but you don't see them spending $120 million on a romantic comedy for her on Transformers.
That's because she's a terrible actor.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But it's just I didn't even know about that at first until the movie had already come out, and I was like, $120 million for a romantic comedy.
I don't know what they were thinking.
How do you expect to make that?
I think it was. I think they had so much faith just riding on her Oscar nomination for Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blonde. I feel like they had a lot riding on that.
Wait, what the hell? Please tell me you're kidding.
Yeah, maybe I'm misinformed. I think I'm misinformed.
Got Chris.
Chris is the most old person ever. But I mean, it had the names. I mean, James L. Brooks is a pretty good name, especially among older folks. He's done some good stuff, and it had, you know, all the name actors are pretty good name actors. But I mean, I've never heard of a romantic comedy ever costing even remotely close to that.
Paul Rudd had a pretty bad year, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's you know. Without because
Dinner for the Schmucks did terrible too, right?
It didn't do that great. And so, you know, I guess when he goes away from Judd Apatow,
yeah,
there you go. But I heard they're trying to do a spinoff of Knockoff with him and Knocked Up. I mean, with him and the wife, which is like okay, that's like you chose those characters, all right. So anyway, so I think so. Obviously, you know, the other half of our name here is Viral. So we had a lot of viral news. We actually covered a few things on the site here and there that weren't technically movie viral.
Right.
But I know one of the big things was Haiti. We talked about some of that a little bit. What were you guys' sort of interesting things that hit the web? I mean, I know viral videos are easy. Some of the things that just kind of went really crazy and that were really interesting to you guys. I'll start
Well, recently, within the last week, the man with the golden voice, this is with the last week, but it's not 2010, but I don't care.
It's worth talking about. It's really
right, yeah. It's a really inspiring story, and I just, a homeless guy held up a sign that said he had this really good voice, or a God-given voice, and a guy had pulled over and filmed him, put it on the internet, the video went viral, and now he's working for Kraft and the Cleveland Cavaliers and NBC and all these people, and making a lot of money, and I just hope he doesn't fall back into his life of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, which I know he's talked about that, saying he hopes he doesn't either. Mm. But yeah, it's just a very inspiring story. It's kind of like the Susan Boyle of America. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was for this year or semester of viral stuff. That's definitely, I think that was at the top of my list.
I think just recently, though, in 2011, where's the 2011 show? Yeah. 2010 show, but I think Smoking Gun just released his rap sheet, which you know they can't let well enough alone. They can't let him have a success. They got to come up behind him here, and he's been in quite a lot of trouble in the past 20 years, and I think they're trying to burst his bubble with that.
Oh jeez,
yeah.
You know, no one could be happy. It seems like can't have it. They can't let people have their success.
Yeah, and I think Susan Boyle was this year or last year too, right? Was that 2010?
That was 2009, I thought. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Antoine Dotson, 2010.
There we go. Bed Intruder.
Bed Intruder, there we go.
That was pretty insane. I mean, he was everywhere. I mean, they had, like, live performances. He was on, like, the BET Awards, and, like, he had Halloween outfits. And those Auto-Tune the News guys are just brilliant. I mean, they're the ones that made him, like, how he is. I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting to see how that was the thing. I mean, because they did, you know, the Double Rainbow song, too. They did a couple other things. And so for that was the one that really, really got people. It seemed like, I mean, it even made the Billboard Top 100. And so I think it's interesting to think like why that one out of all of them was successful so much. I mean, what do you guys think that was the one?
I think his face. when he's just shouting these things, his face just like turns and looks at you, and I think that's what it was. So he's just like, I don't know what it is, but his head's like vertical or horizontal, and he's just staring at you.
He's trying to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best part is that he looks like he's actually like that.
He's actually like that normally. Yeah, that's...
I'm pretty sure he is.
That's what made it so popular. Yeah. Because people thought this authentic. Is how... Right, yeah.
And the fact that it's kind of like almost like he was standing up for his sister. I mean, that's what actually was happening, is that this guy went into her window, and then he like beat him up, like got him out of there. It's like... Like, he stood up for his sister. It's kind of cool. Like, he's kind of a hero.
Right.
and he's just such an interesting character. And it's just so funny to see that was...
But with...
That's a
with
more
all
touching
due respect
story
to,
than the... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, with all due respect to Antoine Dotson, how tame did the actual intruder have to be intimidated by Antoine as a whole?
I'll tell you, I'm afraid of him.
I know.
If he just started shouting at me with that face, I...
You are really,
get
really
out of
dumb.
My room.
You are really so dumb. I don't know. Anybody comes at you, I don't know. That just seems like a weird thing to do, to go in someone's. I guess it's a project, so I don't know that world very well. But you know, just to go into someone's window is interesting. But,
was that thing in the bus with the black guy and the crazy old guy?
I think that was just,
the guy in a fight.
I think it was. I think it was in
2010. That was 2000.
Didn't they deem like? Well, they found out that it was like the white guy was just being kind of a jerk. Like they kind of framed it in a certain way to make it look like it was like the black guy was like all like being like overly crazy, but then like they realized the white guy was just like looking for a fight.
Well, the white guy went to Nam, so...
Yeah, that explains everything.
You don't mess with Nam.
And there's another video of him being tasered at a baseball field. And as he's being tasered, and this was before the bus one, and that one went viral, and as he's being tasered, he starts flipping off the police, tasering him.
Don't tase me, bro.
apparently he liked it, I don't know.
Now that is a badass right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You just don't fuck with old people from Nam and stuff.
Yeah.
You just don't.
What were some other interesting things you guys saw from this year that just were so popular, like on Twitter or whatever.
Jimmy McMillan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Rent is Too Damn High.
Too Damn High. Yeah.
I think I'm the only one that hasn't saw that.
It's pretty funny.
I haven't seen it either.
It's funny. The look of the guy was.
I saw it on Jimmy Kimmel, and I thought, you know, this is Kimmel. He's probably doing a parody, right. And I thought they had made this character and put him on like and making fun of the debate process. And then I found out, no, this guy's mustache and beard is real. Yep. He's really wearing gloves, and he's really his party's called The Rent is Too Damn High. I couldn't believe it.
I looked it up because he's running for governor for this one, and he had this, right. That was his whole platform. Is obviously The Rent is Too Damn High, and I looked it up. He got 14,000 votes. Yeah. It's like.
But did he get elected?
Obviously, no.
Okay.
14,000 votes.
What state was this?
New York. 14,000 votes will not get you a win in New York.
In any country or state country.
Because, yeah.
Country. I'm not Sarah Palin.
Maybe mayor, but not. No.
Maybe mayor.
of a 14,000 town.
14,000 town.
That was definitely one of the worst things. I mean, the whole election process this year, I think, really was ripe for a lot of stuff. It was kind of crazy with the whole Tea Party and everything. Oh god, so annoying. But yeah,
and I think one video that went viral that's related to the Tea Party was a girl getting stomped on her head.
Oh yeah,
that went a little viral.
Yeah, it was Christine O'Donnell was the big one.
Oh yeah, I'm not a witch. I am you.
I'm not a witch. I'm like, okay. When you have to make a video saying,
"I'm not a witch. I'm you."
Isn't that Steam in the background?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. It's weird. They made a joke about that on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And Daily Show. Yeah.
Daily Show, too.
Yeah.
I think then the Rally to Restore Sanity and Or Fear.
That
whole thing launched off an internet campaign, which we covered. It was pretty. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely.
You went there?
What was that?
Did you went there?
No, I didn't.
Anyone here?
No.
Yeah. But just
watched on TV.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. That's all I need to do is to participate is watch on TV. Yeah. And I feel like I've done my part.
Who here was Keep Fear Alive? Just out of curiosity.
What?
Who here was for Keeping Fear Alive? And
I was. I was Keep Fear Alive.
Me too.
Oh, jeez.
And they had, of course, more people attend that rally than Glenn Beck's rally.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did, by 140,000 or something.
Jeez.
I thought Glenn Beck got 600,000.
If you ask him, yes. Stephen Colbert said.
Yeah, that's right.
Stephen Colbert said 3 billion people attended his rally. So
yeah, that's right. I heard that in Fox News. So yeah, never mind.
All right, we don't need to bash Fox News. This is viral cast, not political cast.
Fairly political.
Yeah.
It's not political cast, but yet the site is driven by a guy who's obsessed with politics.
Don't let him know that. We're getting letters.
Secret past.
Secret past.
Secret cast.
Secret cast. Welcome to the secret cast. I think that's some of the bigger things. I don't know.
There was a lot, though.
Of course, forget all of it. But
Double Rainbow.
Yeah.
Was that this year?
That was like.
That was this year?
4 months ago, maybe.
That feels really old.
All internet trends tend to seem old after a couple months. That's part of the problem. But I think that the whole Conan thing, obviously, we definitely covered on the site, of course, but the fiasco at NBC, I mean, I don't know what they were doing up there, but that turned out okay. I mean, his show on TBS is pretty funny. I watched that.
TBS, yeah. Very funny, actually.
Yeah, so...
For once.
I get it. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you see what I did.
But, it was something where, I mean, there was a lot of heated stuff going on there with, you know, people really going to Team Coco and all that stuff, and thinking that was Jay Leno's fault, but really just NBC being idiots. And so, I mean, it's kind of unfair to Jay that he got a lot of that backlash, but, you know. What are you gonna do? At least everyone pretty much.
But if you pass the rain, You pass the reins down. You can't pull them back up.
But he didn't want to.
It wasn't his choice. He was pretty much forced to.
NBC tried to say, you know what, Conan, you're next, and you're going to be next in 5 years. And that was to try to avoid another David Letterman, Jay Leno debacle that happened over Johnny Carson's seat. And it ended up actually making it worse.
Yeah.
They lost Conan, and they made Jay Leno look like a fool.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem was that they knew that Conan's contract was coming up. And right. They thought he was going to go, I think, Fox.
And I think he was in talks with Fox, I think.
Yeah, and so they were afraid of him leaving, but they couldn't just give him the Tonight Show. It was doing really good. And so they said, look, if you stay here in 5 years, then we'll give it to you. Because I think they figured that in 5 years, Jay's ratings might go down. And I think that's what they were assuming would happen. So they said, okay, well, in 5 years, we'll keep you that because we're going to keep you. They knew he was up and coming. And so Jay kind of was like – and they pretty much told Jay that's what they were going to. He was going to have to do. And so obviously accepted that. And then once it happened, he was like, you know, the reason they kept him on.
And then he was going to go to Fox.
Yeah, they kept him on because they didn't want to they think they were going to have to pay him a lot or something to make him if he left or something.
I think it was like $150 million, which was more than Conan. So obviously, you want to get rid of Conan.
Yeah, exactly. So it was this whole thing. They kind of put themselves in a tight spot. But
they should have just all they had to do was not put Jay at 10, and they would have been fine.
Yeah, not really. But we can do.
Why couldn't he just take over the late night show thing?
Jimmy Fallon.
Does NBC? Does a studio ever use logic, honestly?
No.
Well, Letterman should have Leno's job. Leno shouldn't have a job.
Oh.
And that's it. That's really the end of that.
It's pretty sad when you're funnier than Letterman. So, yeah.
I'm not a big Letterman fan, so I agree. But
his comedy is over your head.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Jimmy Fallon's okay.
That's number two on The Alien. Okay.
I was going to mention I like Jimmy Fallon's show.
And he does a lot of viral things, too. He puts...
Yeah.
He's on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
I think he's got a good staff. Jimmy Fallon's got a good staff of really funny guys. I think I think that's a funny show.
And yeah. I tell you, I watched it for like maybe the first month, and it was terrible.
Yeah, the first month was so bad.
The first month was – and the first interview with who they have, Robert De Niro.
That was so bad.
That was the worst interview I've ever seen. Just stared at each other awkwardly. I watched it recently, and it's a lot better now.
Yeah, he's definitely got. I mean, he's done some really cool stuff with people, and like he's so willing to go out there and do more interesting things. And he does this dead on Neil Young impression, and he makes it so funny. Like he was singing the "Whip My Hair" song as Neil Young, and he had Bruce Springsteen on there. He sung with Paul McCartney the "Scrambled Eggs," which is like his original version of "Yesterday." Like these really crazy things. These are fun, and of course he has like. Literally the greatest band on Late Night with The Roots. So,
yeah.
I mean, how do you go?
Well, wait, was he in Kick-Ass? Was he the guy in Kick-Ass?
Who?
The host guy in Kick-Ass? When he said, "I am not Kick-Ass." I don't know. I don't know what that guy's name is, but it sounds like him.
What are you talking about?
I don't know who Jimmy Fallon is, so I'm assuming it's...
You don't know who Jimmy Fallon is?
Are you talking to us? Are you talking to us?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not talking to you.
All right.
Look it up. Google it.
I'm still holding out though for them to drop Letterman and bring on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. I feel like that would be a move in the right direction.
That's funny.
Zach Galifianakis had a late night show on MTV.
Which was funny. It was funny. It was cookie cutter funny. I mean, they made him do. They put him in a shape that he wasn't quite comfortable with, but. I mean, it seemed like it was a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's ugly.
It was before he was.
Did that slip? I'm sorry.
Are you Googling Jimmy Fallon, Chris?
Yes.
You're like, oh, God, he's ugly. That's so bad.
Are you confusing him for the lead Kick-Ass? Are you confusing him for Aaron Johnson Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Is that what
this?
All right, now look up, go Wikipedia Aaron Johnson, and then go to personal information or personal life, and then see who his fiance is.
Oh, no, not that guy.
Okay, I was going to say.
Forget it.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
He's a little good looking, though.
All right.
What are you, Chris? What are you doing?
Googling.
Hey.
Don't name drop, because you guys are going to have to pay Google money now. Don't name drop.
Oh, sure. All right. So let's move on to...
I'm beeping.
All right, we're gonna take Chris out of this. I'm just kidding. Chris, you're gonna go. And I wish it was like around the horn, so I could be like, Chris, mute.
Enough with the speciesism. Let's continue, please.
All right, so let's move on to the actual viral movies. Finally, that's what we are all about here. So, if people who hopefully have seen us tweet and stuff, we are going to have our movie viral awards. Voting is going to start Monday the 10th, which, as of this recording, is tomorrow. And so, you can go on to our site on that the posting that we have, and you'll be able to vote for all your favorites for various categories. We'll go over the categories now, which will kind of be a nice way of going back into the year and talking about movies. And then we can kind of also hopefully explain a little bit here, too, if you don't feel like reading when you go to vote. But it's a nice way to kind of summarize everything. Obviously, our biggest award of the year is Viral Campaign of the Year, or Best Viral Campaign. So our nominees for that, which is the one thing we are announcing now is the nominees for, Tron Legacy, Repo Men, Toy Story 3, Let Me In, and The Crazies. So, in general, I mean, we'll kind of go over some of you guys for the campaigns. I mean, you guys want to talk about the campaigns that you kind of really enjoyed yourselves following to kind of get people in the mood. It doesn't have to necessarily be those, just in general, the overall campaigns that you guys really seem to really enjoy.
I obviously enjoyed, like everyone, Tron Legacy. Had a great campaign, 42 Entertainment, of course, did The Dark Knight. But I think we'll be talking about that a lot. So I'm going to say Repo Man. I had a real fun time following. They had four people run, and they had... what is going on? Anyways.
What are you doing?
they had four runners, and what the runners did was basically they had the... like body parts, not real body parts, but they had like
artifacts, I think.
So, I don't know, but
artiforgs or something.
Artiforgs, yeah. I didn't see the movie, but
what?
I know, I'm sorry. I should have seen the movie. It's but anyway, good. So they had the body parts, and they went on the run, and they had to do specific tasks, so they had to go to certain cities, and there was this entire community of people trying to track them down, because if you found them, you get, I think it was $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, $5,000.
It was $5,000, right.
Per person,
and two of them were found together, so someone got $10,000.
Which is awesome.
And they just had all these great little campaigns, and people were tracking. It was kind of scary how good people were at tracking these two people.
I know, really.
It was very scary, and it scares me to this day. but it was a real fun campaign, yeah. And it had a nice little following, too.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was definitely different, and I got to be part of it, actually, because there was some, at one point, what was it, a contact? It wasn't even, like, the real person, right? It was someone who would know, this guy named the Shaggy Man, who supposedly would know information about what happened. So I was at, I think it was the block at Orange. Or no, it was just Irvine Spectrum in Orange County. And I was there, like, it was my birthday, too. And I'm here just, like, waiting for this guy. And I was at the wrong place. This other lady who was I was helping, like, she I actually met her up there. And she, like, ended up finding the guy herself. And I was like, damn it. And I had been searching all over this place. And, like, because the Spectrum's a very big outdoor mall. And it was kind of unclear where they would be. Like, they had hints and stuff. So I'm going all over the place and everything. It was so annoying. And, because the first time we were supposed to do it was the night that we had the screening for it. And so I didn't see them there. And then
no one found them.
Yeah, no one found them. So I got notified that they would be there this other day, which happened to be my birthday. Yeah, and so on my birthday, instead of like doing something fun, I had to go there and like stand around waiting for some guy I never saw. But I was like, checking my phone and everything. But it's kind of cool. Like, I was like, you know, I think I was calling up Nick and stuff, and we're trying to like coordinate, figure out it must be this when it's like this. And like, we're trying to, you know.
We had these people on the internet, and they were helping us. And there's this entire like process that was going on.
It was really
it was fun, too.
Yeah, and it was definitely a different thing that they were doing there. And it kind of fit in pretty interestingly with the movie, which is, for those who don't know, it's about in the future where you can actually get artificial organs for pretty much anything, but they're really, really expensive. And so most people, if you can't pay it, you usually do it in installments. If you can't make your own payment, then they come in, they repo you, they take out the organs. And so the main character, Jude Law, you know, does that, but then he himself gets like messed up, and so he has to get one. He can't pay it. Then, you know, they're coming after him now. So it's kind of an interesting concept, and it was a decent movie. It had its issues, but the campaign is really cool. I really like the website for it too. The Union Cares site was really interesting. So yeah, that was definitely a different way of doing a campaign where you really had to go around trying to hunt these people down. And it was based off an article they had done, I think, a year before in Wired magazine about this guy who was trying to see if you could really live off the grid or try to get away from people. And so he had done all this stuff, and they eventually did catch him. Like, he was trying to go 30 days and they caught him on like day 28 or something like that. But he had he had changed his look and everything. I read the article. It was really interesting. And so they're kind of extrapolating it towards that. And, it was cool, 'cause we got like some nice publicity from Wired too. So that's always nice.
And Lone Shark Games was the, that were running it with Wired, and they were really nice to us. And we got to do some podcasts with, the runners, or a few of the runners. Oh, yeah. And it was just a fun time.
Yeah, it was a good one. So what about you guys, everyone else? What campaigns would you really like this year?
If any.
You know, I have to say, The Crazes did a hell of a bang at the end with the screen.
Yeah.
I think that was I think that's the best viral campaign finish that I've seen ever. Besides Dark Knight. That did everything perfect. But besides that one, I think... It was,
yeah, but that payoff was only for movie writers, critics. So it wasn't really for the fans.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that's going to hurt it when we do the voting. I think people are going to not really see that, because I would tell you, the what they did for the premiere was pretty awesome, but obviously not everyone got to experience
it. Right, first the premiere. So
yeah,
but it was very well structured. It
was
a Universal Studios ride, pretty much. You know,
for Dan.
There you go. it was
nice camera work, though, by the way, Dan.
Did I take video? I didn't take video.
Were you the one that took
video? You had a video.
Was it just submitted?
No, there was video taken.
Oh, we got
an official video thing for it.
Yeah.
I took video at Comic-Con, but not there. But they didn't lie to you. Like, they were.
We looked for Dan in the video.
I don't know if anybody saw me or not, because there was a decent amount of people there. And it was really kind of crazy. Crazies. Oh god, bad jokes. How about you, Jeremy?
Well, I'd have to say the one thing that stood out to me the most this year, and I don't really track viral that much, I have to be honest, is the Tron campaign. How, and I believe I read this on Movie Viral, actually, you guys did an article about it, how they actually used the crowd chanting in the movie.
Oh yeah,
I think that was, I think, the biggest point of viral for me this year, is knowing that after seeing the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool. That was at Comic-Con in Hall H during the panel for Tron. They didn't really tell us what they were using it for, but they had all of us in Hall H do the thing where you stomp your feet and you chant and everything. And you know, you hear Disc Wars and all that stuff. So you kind of got sort of what it was for, and you knew it was going to be for a big audience. So but then you see it in the film. As soon as I saw it in the film, I was like, hey, that's us. And that's
it. Did you hear yourself?
I could tell my specific voice and stomping. It was pretty nice.
It was so high-pitched, you noticed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah!
I should do it on purpose. But they were really specific about, like, being very quiet and then doing it. And then, like, so they're really specific, and I thought that was really cool that they wanted to do that, and that they were willing to... I mean, they had a lot to work to do anyway, so it's not like they had to like push anything off. So, but still, it's just the fact that you even thought about doing that was really cool, because you could easily do that like in computer stuff, like if you really wanted to.
Right.
How about you, Zach?
I in particular liked Toy Story 3. I mean, that was one I followed more, I think, than the other one. I liked how they sent out the, like, 80s-inspired lots of Huggin' Bear commercials. I knew they sent out some Ken ones. And I think with the new characters they were creating, they kind of wanted to insert themselves into a childhood that they were never in to begin with. And I think that kind of helped it become a little bit more real when it was on film. I like that a lot, especially the lots of Huggin' Bear strawberry scented. I think that one really hit me right where it counts.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Toy Story campaign was mostly video. Which is not something that we've seen a lot of. We've seen mostly they do the websites and all kind of like almost traditional. What's interesting about the Toy Story one is that it was primarily videos. They did some other stuff too, where they had, I know they did this one thing where you could actually pretend like they were asking for hires for the Pizza Planet and stuff like that. And then it was like some screening or something like that, like partial screening. So they did some kind of other things too, but they were really a video based campaign. But they had, I mean, the videos were really funny, and they were a great way of introducing the characters. You're right. I mean, I like they had the Japanese Lotso commercial and the American one, and they had the Ken commercials before. Ken's such a great character. So I think it was interesting. It was still viral, but it was just kind of a different thing than what we've seen. So I think that was a really cool way of doing that, because you really, these are characters you really want to see, and you just, especially with Toy Story, you just want to see more of these people, these characters as much as you can. So it was great to kind of get that little bit, even if it's the new ones.
Actually, I think Disney went all out on Tron, but got kind of lazy on Tangled and Toy Story and just did viral videos. It looks like.
They were both primarily viral video campaigns. I mean,
yeah, but Tron Legacy had like how many?
Right, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Websites?
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's a different thing. And you don't always – you do your campaign based on your movie. I mean, Tron Legacy is a movie that lends itself to that kind of thing, whereas Tangled and Toy Story, I don't think – you're going to get people as excited to do a full, you know, all that stuff that they did for Tron. I don't think they would do that for those movies. But doing the videos and things like that are a great way to kind of get people's attention without having them do too much work. I don't think people would do a lot of work for Tangled or Toy Story, whereas they were willing to do the work for Tron Legacy. So I think you just have to know your audience. I think that was really smart of them. And I think that was those two were probably more in-house, whereas Tron Legacy was obviously 42 Entertainment. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, I forgot
that. So
that's
part of it, obviously. But...
Tangled came out with like how many videos?
They had a few.
Like I think 17 around there.
Yeah, but not all of them were about, they were just kind of like little commercially things. Sometimes they did some really cool stuff like the Double Rainbow, but most of it was more kind of commercials or character introductions, which are good. They had a lot of videos that they pushed out because they wanted people to see it and stuff, and especially because they had their first trailer wasn't that good for Tangled. And I thought that really kind of ruined a lot, and they were trying to like pay catch up after that.
They went pretty dead for like 6 months after that.
Yeah,
pretty much sucks for the fans like me. Like all they did was release concept art, and that was so bullshit. It pissed the fans off.
Yeah,
it really did.
But in the end, it was a good movie. So. Chris,
what?
If people don't know, and we've alluded to it, Chris is a huge Tangled fan.
Oh my god.
So obviously,
I was freaking pissed off at the Disney people wouldn't give me some good Tangled news.
I did, because I also hate false marketing, false
people
advertising.
Disney, god damn it. It's a kid's movie, Jesus.
I know.
Did you grow your hair out for it?
He wanted to look just like Flynn.
Disney is not a kid's Disney has never been
every kid's movie always has the little subtle things, but it's for kids.
It's still for
Chris
kids.
It's for kids. Chris, it's for kids.
Walt Disney has even said himself, if you aim for kids, you're dead. Adults are just grown-up kids.
It's for kids, though.
Disney classics have never been just for
two
kids.
Seconds ago, you're getting mad at Disney.
We'll be right back with Disney Cast after this. All right. Moving on.
Anyway.
Some other campaigns that we didn't really touch about too much. The Let Me In campaign I thought was really cool. They mailed me stuff, so of course I think that's cool. But they had their site was really interesting with the whole Let Me In. I think it was helpme.net. I mean, that was really interesting. Kind of creepy, too. But they had some cool games and stuff on that.
Yep.
So, every year, you need a creepy campaign.
Really.
It's mandatory.
Saw 3D did a little bit, but not too much. Last Exorcism was kind of cool. They had a nice website for the main guy. What is he? A priest?
No,
I can't remember. So there was a lot of... little bit of survivals. I know we kind of had some Inception in Iron Man 2. They both had kind of started some viral. Iron Man 2 was super commercial, though. And it was, like, not really that great. And Inception really just didn't go anywhere. They only did a little bit here and there.
It was like Angels and Demons.
Yeah, God, I remember that. I sucked because they made a whole page out of it. And then, like, it had, like, one site that they barely did anything on. I was like, I wasted a whole page on you. That's why I'm a lot more, like, careful about choosing pages for campaigns now, because I'm like, we did a bunch that just didn't really go anywhere at the beginning.
Yep.
So, Anybody else want to comment just on campaigns in general that you really liked? I mean, we'll go into more specifics too.
This is not this year, but so far Apollo 18, I really like. That's just kind of a quick comment.
It's pretty. I mean,
Apollo 18 is this year.
I know.
Right. I know. I just said that.
Oh,
you have to listen. Listening skills, Chris.
He's still fuming about Tangled.
No, I'm not.
Sit in the corner and relax for a minute. Oh man. Yeah, no, I agree, though. That's been really interesting. I mean, I've learned so much about the Apollo missions just trying to, you know, reading those documents and stuff. So hopefully that turns out to be something that's really good, and we can cover that in our the 2011.
Oh, and quickly, this is not the They're Here.
Oh, yeah. That's something I want to mention. I think I might give them a special award. That's what I plan on doing.
I think you should, because that was just fantastic.
It was really great because it wasn't – obviously, it's not for a film, but it's – and that's something where it kind of goes outside of our range of our camp
right.
Our awards. But,
and we thought it was for a film.
Yeah, but it was a really great campaign. We should talk about that. They did this whole thing where they were releasing little videos, and it was called They're Here. We thought it was maybe a sci-fi movie, alien invasion movie or something. And they were just – you know, they were doing this really well, and they had a date that they was going to reveal everything. And then they revealed the short film, and you find out that it's actually about animals and protecting animals because they're like us. They're not us, but they're like us. It sounds silly, but if you watch the video, it's cool.
Because you think it's aliens, and you're thinking it's this invasion film,
yeah.
And then it's like, and then it's just dogs and,
yeah.
and cows. And it's just
aliens mess around with them. They
I had some friends.
All the time, so
I had some friends that were asking me like, "What's there here?" And I was like, "You know, we really don't know. We're just waiting for the countdown to end." And then the day the countdown ended, the day after, they're like, "So what was it? What was it?" I was like, "It was for animals."
It sounds so bad, and I think there are people that were kind of mad about
it. Oh, I just right when that happened, and I didn't see it coming, and I should have. A lot of people saw it coming, but I didn't. And I just got this huge smile on my face because of what they had just done.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was brilliant. I mean, and I interviewed the guy that was behind it and everything, and you know, asking about what he thought about the backlash. But I think more than anything, they were just happy to get the word out there. Because they're like a much more sensible PETA, the group. The One Kind is the name of the group.
Yeah.
One Kind, and they're this UK based animal rights group, but they're much more, like I said, they're much more like a sane version of PETA. And so they're really cool. And so the guy was really nice and everything, and that it was so smart just to do that and like to really get people buzzing about it. And we were covering it like no other. And then all, and you find out, and I remember I watched that. I was like, that's brilliant. That's the first thing I thought. So that's interesting. So if you're not,
some people were really angry.
No, believe me, I don't. I asked them about that. Yeah, and I asked them about that, and I'm like, look, there's plenty of alien invasion films coming out this year, so
yeah.
It's like, whatever, like, you'll get to watch those, but this was a really great way to kind of grab onto that sort of audience, and then to bring them over to that. I thought it was really interesting. So,
yeah. And I hope they got some donations out of it, because it was great.
Yeah, because, I mean, they definitely, I know they said a lot of people are more aware of them, so hopefully that helps them out. But that's a great way of doing that, where it's a campaign, and it's not really for film. And I think that's something that we'll mention that in our voting thing. So just because I want people to kind of know about that and just how smart that was to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure if the Oscars or the Golden Globes have that, but there's a golden strawberry that they give for the worst actor.
What are you talking about?
There's an award that one of those people do.
The Razzies?
One of those. I don't know if it's the Oscars or the Golden Globes, but they give a golden strawberry or something.
Pretty sure.
Something similar like that they give to the worst actor.
Are you talking about like the Razzies?
I'm not sure.
Do they just give it to Mark Wahlberg every time?
I don't know.
Don't you care about the bees?
I don't know which award show it is. But,
say hi to your mother.
Say hi to your mother for me. Oh, Mark Wahlberg. I'm the guy who's doing his job. All right.
But yeah, let's do something like that.
I guess this year Mel Gibson probably gets it.
Carl Strupp. Hey.
I don't know if we'll do worse things. That's just mean. I try to be nice. I try to be positive.
Yeah, I don't think we're. No.
Well, that's not.
So one of our other categories is most interactive campaign, which is more talking about which campaign really had people doing more things. I mean, for instance, a great example of what's not interactive is Toy Story 3. It was mostly videos. But there are obviously some campaigns that are very interactive. I think that two we mentioned that were very clear are Tron Legacy and Repo Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any others that really were that great. What do you guys think about interactive campaigns that were this year? Like, what interactive, even just maybe elements that you thought were really interesting that we really had to get people involved?
I think, and I'm kind of torn between which was more interactive, Repo Men or Tron, because Tron had, they obviously had like a set goal to what had to happen, and you know, they're going to release this bit, they're going to, you get some things, you have to find out some things. If you beat the puzzle or you beat the game, you get something in the mail. I mean, that's interactive, but Repo Men, it was, you set your own course. If you don't find them, you don't get anything. If you don't work together, then you're not going to get anything. So I thought that was more interactive. But I think Tron Legacy still had the better campaign. I don't know. That's what.
This is definitely the
well.
Two.
As far as interactivity goes, Repo Men, I think, totally gets it because it required a lot more legwork.
Mm-hmm.
Tron Legacy. You got things in the mail. You didn't have to do a thing.
Well, a lot of us didn't because we had the benefit of, you know, Unfiction forum members and stuff doing a lot of the work for us. But in terms of interactive campaigns, I mean, that's something where I think you have to look at the whole thing. And I think that Tron Legacy had a lot of things. Comic-Con, there were a couple different ones. like the Tron Night and stuff like that, where people had to do work. Now, granted, it wasn't everyone, but there were definitely people who had to do a lot of work in order to get to those things.
That's true.
So, I mean, definitely those are...
But I thought Repo Men kind of... The campaign wrote itself as it went. There was nothing really planned.
And it was almost like, it was almost completely based around the interactivity. You know, right. That's what's kind of cool about it.
Right. But Tron definitely was good, too.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot more. I feel like Tron was more for the Tron fans. In the very end, it was more for the Tron fans.
I don't know how you couldn't say that about Repo Men.
No. Repo Men, it didn't get any fans. How did the movie have fans before it even came out?
Wasn't it a comic, though? Wasn't Repo Men a graphic novel? Am I misinformed on that?
Well, there was Repo the Genetic Opera.
There was a former movie.
Well, that's different.
But I keep thinking the Repo Men in general was... I thought there was a...
No, I don't think it's a comic. I'm pretty sure it's not.
They ended up making a graphic novel for it, but I don't think it was already...
Right, that was afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, that's maybe what I'm thinking.
Unless there was an actual book called The Repossession Mambo.
Yeah, it's based off the novel. There's a novel called The Repossession Mambo.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay,
yeah.
That. So
I don't
fans from the
book. Graphic
novel. All right.
Yeah, so...
have fans. All right. Never mind.
I don't know how many fans there are, but yeah.
A lot of people that were following the campaign were fans of Wired magazine.
Yeah.
Just kind of avid readers of Wired magazine.
Yeah.
As well as people from Unfiction.
Yeah, and because Wired has a pretty good following, they have a great magazine.
They have mediocre following.
I think Repo Men was more for viral fans, while Tron Legacy was more for Tron fans.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Tron Legacy had a broader appeal,
right.
But I don't think it was targeting more people than just viral fans, because it was run by 42 Entertainment. So when you bring on 42 Entertainment, it seems that you're saying, we're going to give you a good arc. We're going to give you a good story.
Right.
But the thing is, like, every single nerd is a Tron fan, apparently.
Well, yeah.
According to popular belief.
Tron guy is a Tron fan.
Obviously, I would hope so. That'd be weird.
I've never seen Tron. I just made the suit.
I try to find people who aren't Tron fans like me, but I cannot.
I can't find Tron fans.
I know. Are you kidding me? I know a lot of people
who
haven't even seen the movie, the original. Or like know
no,
much
I mean
about
nerds.
It.
I mean nerds who don't like
Tron.
I know nerds,
and there's some that have not seen it. Especially nowadays, because like it's been a long time.
Yeah, 82. That's a long time. Yeah,
I know. Really,
it was back then. It was the Avatar of 1982.
I think maybe my dad saw it.
I don't really. Most people only know that are nerds weren't even born when that came out, including me.
Gee, I wonder why.
Because it was a long time ago.
Because he's young.
You're young.
Chris, I was bringing something
I'm
to 12. The table. You're 12. You're not that. inside jokes. Okay, so
and I'm really an alien. Yeah,
you will.
I think that's
moving on.
Moving on. So kind of on maybe the opposite end, or intertwined with that would be the best narrative campaign, which is something where we talk about which one had the best story and kind of integrated well with the movie. Well, more just it told a story through the campaign. I'll kind of leave this one now open, although there's some obvious ones. What were some ones that you guys thought were good? And I'm going to start with Zach this time. Assuming you're there.
I've got the Inception poster. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I've got the Inception poster right above my head here.
Nice.
Which brings up just how we were saying it really didn't go anywhere, and it didn't, but it kind of sent out just enough to give you – to kind of fill in any blanks you might have had leading up to the release of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it released the Coble job, which that was like a 0.5 to Inception. Right. And I feel like they released the plans for the Dream Machine,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of filled in a lot of blanks. So I feel like while it may not have told the best story, I think it kind of was the appetizer to the meal that was Inception. So, you know, it may not have been the best narrative, but I felt it did help me.
Hope you understand it.
Understand it.
Bring it up a little bit, man.
That's a delicious metaphor, what you just said.
I've been trying to give that metaphor for like 11 years.
There you go.
Like, it's the best medium to give that metaphor.
Chris very much enjoyed it, so. What about you, Jeremy?
Well, I'd have to probably go with the obvious one and say Tron. I mean, a lot of Tron's campaign was reading the forum posts, going to the different websites, trying to read the story of what happened to Kevin Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we just base strictly on narrative, that one would be the best one, the most in-depth and the best story out of them all.
Mm-hmm. That was the one I think really kind of needed it the most, too, because there's a lot that happens in between the first movie, Tron, and Tron Legacy.
1982 and 2000.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on. It's almost like they had to do that.
Sounds like 30 years or something.
I know. Feels like it. But, yeah, so that, I think that's the one that really kind of...
Yeah, I would agree with Jeremy. I'd say Tron.
Yeah. I think some other ones that were good... Crazies had a good story that they were kind of telling, especially with...
yeah, that's true.
What's her face? Kim Johnson. And
in
the whole video with the DM, the chemicals. Because you don't really get a lot of that in the movie, but you know, you kind of get some backstory. But they're kind of telling that story of them and how they're the people there in the town trying to make it cleaner. And I think the salt was very contained, but I think it was kind of it was a really cool story you were learning about some of the character, some of the whole Day X thing with all the sleeper cells and everything. So that was an interesting, very self-contained, of course, but it was kind of an interesting story I really liked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Crazies was more humble, but that's what made it so appealing
mm-hmm.
as well until like the very end.
Yeah, I mean, it kept it pretty simple, but it was something where they were telling the story you had.
And they had they showed the website too in the movie.
Yeah, I love that. That was a nice that kind of
nice tip of the hat.
Wag of the finger. That actually leads me into my next category that we have is called the best tie-in, which is where you know which campaign really kind of interwove what they did in the campaign with the film itself. So like where maybe in the film you saw things from the viral, and the viral did things specifically to kind of reference the movie, as opposed to being maybe like I think Salt was very self-contained, for instance.
Right.
But like, so what are some? I know the Crazies obviously is a good example of that, just from the website itself. They make slight references to the whole. Why it may have? Did they use the word Trixie in the actual Crazies movie? I forget.
I don't remember.
That's the name of the.
I don't think they did.
That's the name of the drug that obviously you know causes everything. But and they kind of make some references
to
it. Yeah,
actually
they
did.
They really?
Yeah, they did when they got when the explosion.
Oh yeah, I think they do. Yeah. I think the military guy when it, before he the. I don't remember the name.
Wait, spoiler alert.
All right,
go ahead.
Before the deputy shoots the guy in the black SUV that they were going to take, but then the deputy like,
oh, that's right,
blew it up. Right, I think he might have said it.
Yeah,
I have to watch it again.
That's the scene that comes to mind for me too. But that's the scene that comes to mind. I don't remember if he said it though.
Yeah, I can't remember. He might have just said a chemical or something to that.
Right. But at the very least, they kind of reference it. So, but the website is a good one. I like the little nod.
And that definitely explains it too. Yeah.
So
I'm glad though that the Crazies wasn't zombies. That's what it looked like at the beginning
yeah.
in the trailer, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, it was like smart zombies almost because they still had their minds and they weren't dead, but they just acted really crazy.
I would say the Crazies. I think more so than anything else, I would think the Crazies. But definitely Tron again had its tie-ins.
Because they had the one reference, I can't remember his specific line in it, but I know that he mentioned something Sam Flynn does about how him and, like, others won't stop looking for Flynn or something.
Right.
Like, he mentioned something like that. And you kind of, like, it's obviously kind of a nod at the Flynn Liz group.
Right.
Really small nod, but... but, you know, and then one of the things, like, and I didn't really get this until I was actually going through the articles for this. I really liked how, you know, when you watch him in the movie, like, he's really pretty good, the whole Disc Wars thing. And you're like, damn, that's kind of strange. But then, but during the campaign, we actually learned that he learned Capora. I can't remember if I'm saying that right. But it's that musical Brazilian kickboxing kind of thing. So yeah. Like, and it's like, you do moves that are very similar to what they do in the whole Disc Wars.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's kind of cool that they did that. Like, they added that in there.
I would almost say that it has the best, like, reverse tie-in. The campaign itself had more elements from the movie than most campaigns do. They had the big NCOM precedence with, what's his name? I can't remember his name.
Alan Bradley.
Yeah. He was there, and I think Sam Flynn was there.
Yeah.
But they didn't show him because I'm pretty sure it was him actually parachuting.
Was it really? I thought it was a stunt guy.
It might have been a stunt guy, and then they switched him, but I swear seeing a picture of him. There's a video of him.
No actor is that brave. Come on.
He gets on a motorcycle and goes away, I think.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff like that, right? Because he was even in that one video where you go see it, you find his locker, and then you find a video of him, and he's talking to the Flynn Liz guys.
And I'm going to say, I think it actually was him, because I think they showed him in the helicopter and jumping out. I guess they could have switched him or something. But
who knows?
Still.
But yeah, it's a they definitely.
They had kind of like the reverse tie-in. They had more stuff from the movie in it than most campaigns normally do, and I think The Dark Knight was the same way.
Mm. Yeah,
I think Lemmy and did some cool stuff too with that as well. With the they sent out, like, one of the things I didn't even know when I went to Comic-Con, I got to go to this kind of party for Lemmy In, and they had Now and Later is kind of everywhere. And I was like, what the hell? It was really random. I'm like, why is there Now and Later? And then they showed us a clip from the next day. It was a panel for it. They showed us a clip from the movie, which was the clip where you find out, you know, the main kid, he really loves Now and Later, and he tries to give one to the girl. And so, like, that was like, oh, that's why they did it. Like, they did little things like that. And it's kind of interesting to see them really try to tie that stuff in and really take that kind of detail.
And you met Matt Reeves.
I did. I got to meet Matt Reeves, and I told him that hit Cloverfield was the reason why our site exists. And I was happy to be able to do that.
Whatever happened to Chuck?
I don't know. He took my card, and he never talked to me again.
Yeah. He stood you up.
I'm telling you.
And fun fact to the people listening to this, Chuck actually had a viral a while ago.
Yeah, they had a website and stuff. NBC has a lot of little ones like that, but...
Especially NBC.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, is there any other thing you guys want to talk about in terms of, like, tie-ins you thought were really cool that's viral campaigns did?
I just fully agree with the crazies. That's about it. I followed that one pretty – that was a while ago, but I know in particular I think it was cool how they gave out the login. I think it was on the Chemical website. Like, they gave out the login to get in there and dig a little bit deeper. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just a blog that got sent out there. I didn't really chime in too much on what we talked about earlier. I apologize, but
no, it's cool.
I followed that one pretty cool.
Yeah, just always, you know, always, if you have something to say, speak up, because I know that Nick is a loud mouth, so just kidding.
Sorry.
Jeez, come on. So this kind of leads, we talked about a little bit about 42 Entertainment and stuff, but the best studio for viral, we'd like to kind of award the studios for what we think are really doing a good job trying to get their viral out there.
I think we're going more with distributors, aren't we?
And we're focusing on the actual, because I mean, there's a lot of, there usually tends to be on the marketing side of it, so that's why. I mean, sometimes it happens to be the same people doing it as as making it. But yeah, so we're focusing more on the actual studios, and we'll mention that when we do the actual campaign, but the actual voting for it, you'll see like the name of the studio plus the movies, the films that we're contributing to them. So I think that's obviously the big one. The two big ones are going to be Disney and Overture, because Overture had Crazies and Let Me In, Disney and Tangled, Toy Story 3, Tron, obviously. So. What are some of the ones that we did? I know we had a bunch listed, and we had to cut out at least one from our list. So what do you guys what studios from, you know, that you really liked what they did?
Again, I was a big fan of Repo Man, that campaign, and of course there was Lone Shark Games, but there was Universal Pictures. I thought that I've said it a few times, but I thought that campaign was really good.
Hmm. How about you, Zach?
Studios in particular. I just jumped back to Warner Brothers with Inception. I'm looking at the poster now. I'm sorry, I don't really follow the studios too well.
No, that's
but the Crazies, like I said, was cool. I guess that's my two cents on that one. I, in particular, like I said, like the Crazies and Inception. Just I love the movie in general. So anything I could get from Inception,
yeah,
soundtrack wise, viral marketing wise, I was all over that.
And
are you removing cans from your desk again, Nick?
Nick just fell on the stairs, and so we're going to continue on.
I'm sorry.
Are you mad at me? Did you just throw a chair?
Sorry for falling down the stairs.
I'll find the studio that did the Crazies.
No.
Oh, man.
My bad.
One of the things that we are introducing this year that we didn't do last year for our awards was the most original campaign or element. And I'll go ahead and actually list the ones that I had listed for all of us to try to whittle down, and you'll see what they end up being tomorrow, or Monday, whenever you're listening to this. So I know the Last Exorcism's chat roulette thing they did, the Repo Man, the whole hunt they had. There's one where this movie called The Last Call would actually call you in the theater as part of their thing. Stallone had this really cool explosive interview for Expendables where it was on YouTube. It looked like it was a video, but it was like a whole page. Scott Pilgrim had a battle of the bands. The virginity hit billboard they had where there was a number that you called to get advice on how to lose your virginity. Then Electronica, which was a thing they did in California Adventure at Disneyland. A really cool thing. They turned the whole Hollywood backlot into like this huge Tron party like every night. Megamind, they had this really cool superhero world record where they could get the most people in one place. It was in LA Live. You get the most people dressed as superheroes. You had to dress up as specific superheroes too. Like they wouldn't count certain ones. And they ended up beating it by a lot. The world record for most in one place. Community had a really cool Twitter episode. Where it was like basically in real time or like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, but it was like all the different characters and they would talk and on to each other through Twitter. And it was really interesting to see that happen. And then we had Captain Jack Sparrow, which was actually really was Johnny Depp. He surprised some students in that, which was kind of cool. They had a video about that. The Community also again had a background storyline, which was really cool where they, Ahmed, or I think his name is, he was like doing this really crazy stuff in the background, like helping this pregnant lady deliver a baby and all that stuff. And like, it was completely in the background. And like, the only reason anybody really noticed it because it went online. And then Buried had this cool thing from the Rolling Road show where you can actually watch Buried while buried, in like this casket. It was really cool. So out of those or any other ones that you know, what are some that you thought was really original that somebody did this year, for movies?
I thought, this is a movie, but the Community Twitter episode, I really thought that was kind of cool to see when it was, because they did it during the show, I think.
I think it was right before the show.
In any case, because they all have their own Twitter accounts, and they mention them on the show every once in a while. I think they had an entire episode where they were tweeting things, I think like what Old Man Says or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
For peers. So I thought that entire thing was pretty cool. And pretty original, I thought.
Now, was the Stallone Expendables, was that where you were on the main page and it looked as if it was a main page and then he kind of took over the page?
Yeah.
What that was? Am I thinking correctly on that one?
Yeah, and then, like, and they were like
where
enemies.
It kind of peeled back and it kind of like almost.
Yeah, like there was like, enemies on the videos next to it and then he had to like blow up the enemies and stuff.
Yes. Kind of okay. Cool. I thought that was cool just because as a YouTube fan in general, I think that was pretty cool. That one in virginity hit because that kind of came out of nowhere. They gave you just enough information to want to make you call that number. And I think the billboards were pretty cool. I like those two in particular.
Very controversial too.
And the battle of the bands.
Yeah. That was definitely one of the more things. That was smart. That makes sense for what that movie was too. What about you, Chris?
You know what? I agree that with all the things that you listed, they're all pretty much equal, except The Last Call. That's so bland. Why are you including that?
Because it's cool. It's interesting. I mean, they call you in the theater.
Yeah, but it's just a phone call.
Wow. Okay.
It's just, I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't think it's that special because it's just a phone call.
That's all right. You know, go watch
it's
Tangled.
Pretty.
Yeah, but on the iPhone. No.
I'm not including Tangled in any of this. That was you. All right.
Okay. So, I think we kind of got all the main movie ones. We can briefly go over some of the TV things. For TV series for Viral, what did you guys think was who really did the best? I mean, I think it was.
I think The Office.
Yeah, The Office.
It's always done.
Office or Community would be my
take. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you guys?
The Office. The Office. Mainly because The Office is funnier. And the Community sucked, so okay.
Jeez.
I think Community. I think Community. I'm getting on there. I'm gonna light up a torch.
I love
those guys. We'll go get Frankenstein with those guys. I think they're.
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit. Whoa there.
Oh, God.
You had the weirdest
Where
sounds.
Do you live? For God's sake.
Don't worry about it. It's my chair creaks. I'm sorry.
Okay, stop hiding that body in there.
Are you in Haunted Mansion? Are you in the Haunted Mansion?
I was going to say, my God.
Oh. Are you playing the piano or?
Come back.
I really like Community's Viral too because I like their Spanish assignment video. Yep. That series was really funny. And in general, and I that doesn't count towards this, but I like the viral videos that DJ Steve Porter did. Because he did some cool remixes from them. And so I guess that kind of leads you to the we'll do best network for Viral. Obviously, for me, it just seems like it's obvious. It's NBC.
NBC.
just because it has The Office, Community, even The Event, SNL. They do that always seems to go viral.
Yeah.
So for me, that seems like the obvious one. But although ABC is pretty cool because they had Lost and Castle. So I just love Castle, as we all know.
Yes. And Hawaii 5-0.
Actually, I stopped. No, ABC doesn't have Hawaii 5-0.
I don't care.
You're just saying I like
CBS. Yeah. CBS they didn't have a viral either. You should point that out first.
I know. I didn't say they didn't.
They don't.
I didn't say they did.
Well, I know, but you should have pointed that out before that they're not on ABC.
Oh. Well, I thought that, okay, never mind. Anyway.
Actually, by the way, quick question. Did Lost actually do the trailer thing where the fans made the trailer, they would pick one and play it?
Yeah, they did. I don't remember seeing it.
They actually did? Oh, I didn't see it.
I read something about it, but they did. I never saw a video of it or anything like that, though. But yeah. So some of the other ones that we had consideration, by the way, for people who want to know. I said NBC and Lost. NBC and ABC, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you had CBS, because they had a few little things. HBO, AMC, Discovery Channel, Showtime, Dexter. AMC is mostly because Breaking Bad and Walking Dead. So those are a few of the ones that we had considered. Best viral element for television. A lot of little things in there. I mean, I really liked the Spanish video assignment is one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Twitter episode from Community too. And the Castle Twitter story. He did this whole thing during the summer where he was doing this whole, like, because, you know, the show's off the air, and so he was doing this whole thing in real time where he was, like, figuring out his own mystery without Beckett. So I thought that was pretty cool. What were some things that you guys noticed or remembered anything that you guys really liked?
I thought Glee, the Glee casting, that seemed to get a lot of people excited.
That was smart. Yeah, because they ended up picking somebody from YouTube that was kind of a mini YouTube star. That really kind of got people really excited. So I think that definitely got a lot of people. Because, you know, if you spend any time on YouTube, you know how many people want to be either on Glee or just be some sort of singing star. So, I mean, you're tapping.
I agree with you there. Because it feels like everybody thinks they can sing. Everybody's seen American Idol.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and Glee, is in general, just has a really strong following.
Right.
It has a really strong, like, I don't know. It's
kind of scary.
Don't ask.
What are they called? What are the fans called for Glee?
Gleeks.
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 Isn't Gleeks when you like spit out of your mouth?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a technical term.
Right, so they're basically backwash spit is what Glee fans are.
Yeah. From a jock water fountain.
Yeah.
That's what a Gleek is.
Very nice.
Yeah. One thing I'll give Glee is that it's good singing. The focus of the show, yeah, but everything else.
I've never seen it.
Actually, I watch the show and I enjoy it. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure.
Castle's
a quality television show that I love.
I thought it got canceled a long time ago.
To be honest, I have no idea what it's even about. So,
it's about some author that's also a cop, I think.
No, he's a writer who he writes novels like those detective novels, and so he ends up following a detective.
HBO has a series Bored to Death.
I've never seen that.
That's a good show. It sounds exactly like what you're explaining.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, and Zach Galifianakis is in it.
Yep. I've never seen that. I'll have to watch that and see how similar it is.
I have a feeling you'll like it, I think.
I think Bored to Death is more of a comedy. It doesn't seem like Castle's...
Yeah, I mean, Castle definitely has comedy elements, but you know, it's an hour-long drama kind of thing, so...
Right. It's kind of different. Same premise.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so out of all the amazing websites we saw this year for both film and television, can you guys pick out one that you really like? There's a lot of websites.
I would just say flynnlives.com. I think that was the best one.
We'll give you so much stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Zach?
I don't know the exact names of them. Whatever the one from Crazies was. The one in particular that told you. Yes, that's what it is.
That
the
was
one
a cool
that told
site.
You about the chemical in general. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was a really cool site. I like that one.
I give a thumbs up for that one.
What about you, Chris?
You know, professionally, I have to say that.
Disney.com.
No. Flynn Lives is the best one that I've seen all year.
But personally.
Personally? Predators.
Oh, that's what you were talking about. It's like the main site, but they had some cool games and stuff on there.
Yeah, very cool interactivity. I love the way that I was able to scratch up your site. That was awesome.
Oh yeah, they did that.
Surprisingly fun movie.
Yeah, the movie was pretty cool.
That was surprisingly a fun movie.
Yeah,
it was
great.
That was a good
one. Didn't see it. Debbie Downer right here.
I have epilepsy, so I couldn't. I'm just kidding.
So there were a lot of cool sites I really liked. I didn't actually watch Breaking Bad, but the BetterCallSaul.com site for Breaking Bad was really cool. I mean, I know a little bit about the show enough that it was pretty fun. The videos they did and everything. The WildWildGirls.com for Piranha 3D was brilliant. It was it's a rated R site basically, and it's just but it's funny.
Dan really loved it.
Oh, it's my favorite site. It's bookmarked right here. But
it's the first R-rated site, pretty much
for a while, probably.
There's a lot of R-rated sites out there, Chris.
But which one shows boobs ass? Come on.
What? Go to
which one?
If you go to lemonparty.org
for a movie.
Go to anywebsite.org.
For a movie. For a movie.
Oh, for a movie. Oh, yes. You should probably say that, Chris.
I think that's...
I don't understand your English. So, for a movie that had a viral campaign, it's the first one to show nudity and stuff.
That's probably true.
Some ones I really liked. I like the unioncares.com for Repo Men. It was a really well-designed site. It was really cool, how they made...
Yeah.
It all looked really it's no big deal to get, fake parts for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
I really liked I Just Want to Be Perfect.com for the Black Swan. That was pretty crazy. The little tidbits you get from that. And then I really liked, for some reason, I only watched a couple episodes of The Pacific on HBO, but that they had this whole battle maps thing where it's interactive and you can see where all the battles were. That was really cool. I don't know that particularly.
You did really like that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. For some reason, thanks. Because for some reason, that was
I honestly remember you I love this.
It was so cool. I like things because it's educational, but it also kind of helps you with the, get a little bit of background.
Storyline,
the storyline too. But it's it had a really nice, you know, simple design, everything, but it was cool.
Yeah. Well, gee, that's the best kind of website of all. One that's educational.
There Are you go. Trying to do and my what? English?
What?
All right.
Oh, this is spinning out of control. So we are. So probably one of the bigger ones I had, I think the most that I listed on for options for nominees was Best Spiral Element for Film. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a bit of options here. I mean, a lot of things that people had done. Obviously, Tron Legacy tends to take up a lot of them. I really thought I'm trying to think for the best one. I mean, it's there's a lot. I mean, what do you guys think? That's a hard one.
It is. That's a really tough one because Tron had so many options. The Edicom press conference was huge. They had the helicopter, the big. That was just a huge one. And then you got the Repo Man. The entire hunt is in itself something. And then Tron had an entire park.
Yeah,
in Disneyland, and then the nightclub. There was just so many options that I don't know if I would be able to pick a best one. I think I'd probably go with the NCOM press conference. I think that was.
It was pretty substantial. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the with Tron Legacy. They did that whole Comic Con thing with the Flynn Lives. I mean the Flynn's Arcade, and then in the back was the End of Line Club. That was pretty cool. And they kept that there. I mean, we got to see it on that first night, but they kept it. And it was just really cool to see that, like, how perfect it looked. And, like, they had, like, the Daft Punk music pumping and everything. I thought that whole design was cool. And then they actually ended up, when you walk in to the arcade, they play the same music that plays when Sam Flynn walks into it in the movie, where you get the Journey song, and then you get the Sweet Dream song. It's, like, it's so funny. Like, you don't realize it then because you don't see it. But then afterward, you watch it, like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. And then, like, you realize, I watched the video and everything, and it's like, holy crap, like, they really kept that pretty accurate. And that was really cool. I mean, Comic-Con obviously is one of the mecca for doing all this stuff, so you kind of almost, like, it's cheating. And obviously with the NCOM press conference, that was during WonderCon, so, you know, these kind of things are almost, like, by themselves going to obviously do cool things.
Yeah.
What were you, Zach? Of all the things you remember that we covered or whatever that you saw, what was something that you really liked? Just the one, like, one element that was cool?
I think I didn't participate like you guys did, but just from the podcast here, it sounds like Repo Man had their game in check, and I liked the whole hunt in general. I didn't really know about it to the beginning of this, but you guys kind of mapped it out, and it made it sound really, really fun. And if I had to choose, I would like to spend my birthday doing that.
It was fun.
I don't know if anybody did that on their birthday, but I think I'd like to spend my birthday
plus,
doing that.
Plus, you get $5,000 if you
did find someone.
Or $10,000 if you're the person that
finds two of them, yeah, together.
Yeah, that sounded pretty cool in general, just from what you guys have described it as.
That was so dumb of them to stay together.
I remember talking to the lady that found him. It was probably an hour after she found him. We had a special podcast, and she was just like, "I don't know why they were together." She was so surprised.
It's like, boom, $10,000 in your pocket.
Yeah, it's just all right.
Yeah, because there are a lot of cool things. I mean, Super 8 did some cool stuff at Comic-Con, which was kind of surprising. I don't think we thought they were going to do anything at Comic-Con, and they did like the whole. Ice cream truck and they gave out the free shirts and stuff. And so that was just cool. They even did anything there. Obviously I think when it comes to the best of our elements, we tend to kind of lean towards events. Chris is back. Hello, Chris. But I think Tron Legacy did a lot of those kind of things. I mean, they even opened up a little shop in Los Angeles for a short time where you could buy like the actual Tron, equipment, like the jackets and stuff like that look really awesome. They had the money for it. It looks like they spent a lot of money on that campaign.
Yeah, I think it was over $100 million
on just the campaign. That doesn't surprise me.
What's the movie up to now? What's the box office up to? I mean, are they getting? Is everything in good shape as far as that goes?
They're not doing as well as they were hoping, I think, but they're doing okay. I know this weekend they made just under $10 million for the weekend. They made 170 overall, like worldwide, but that's not crazy though. You know, I mean, it could be better. I'm sorry.
That's domestic, yeah.
Sorry, I meant 250. I'm like the wrong people together. I'm looking at the whole thing altogether. Yeah, so they're making about 258 worldwide. So that's not good. That's good. It's not crazy good. I mean, the production budget was actually 170. Sorry, plus you add the 100 there. So,
and I think that the cast and the director, I think they just wanted to tell a story. And so I don't think as much about the money as maybe some other movies. Maybe like a $100 million romantic comedy. But so I think they did their job too. They seem to, fans are happy with it. Most fans.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I mean, I'm someone who really, I liked the original a lot. So I think that they succeeded in that way. And, that's not just cause I got to meet the writers and they kind of gave me their back story of it. Like, cause obviously, you know, when you watch a movie, there's only so much you can get out of it. But when you talk to the writers, you kind of learn a little bit more where they're coming from and stuff. I mean, it's not fair cause it kind of, your judgment of it's a little off, but that definitely helped, I think. So something that we started doing in 2010, I think we did it, started doing it at the end of 2009, but we really obviously did a lot more in 2010, was viral videos. We started posting a lot more of those, and we did both ones that were marketing viral videos that were coming from the companies and then fan ones. So out of the ones that were actually from, you know, either the studios or from somebody trying to market something, what were some of the videos that you guys really seemed to like?
The SNL the Cookie Monster audition, that I remember that first hit, Twitter just went crazy for it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty funny. And they had him on there with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
So I think that was pretty cool.
It was done so well too. It was so, and the, I love the whole like the picture one where he's, you know, with like the, they always have that pastel like background behind him where it's like they do that like right before the commercial.
Yeah, that was
with his hand in his head in his hands. Like they did that so perfectly, just like they do on the show, and it was done really smart. So I like that one. I think that the Tangled double tower to steal Chris's thunder, just so I could steal it. I thought that was pretty funny. And some of the ones they did for the fake commercials were like the hair and everything was pretty funny. All the Toy Story stuff were just so good. There's a bunch of them that we had to choose from, but there's a bunch of really good ones from them. What about you, Zach? Did you see any videos on our site that you really liked?
The Toy Story ones. I keep going back to that. That's my thing right there. Toy Story and obviously Tangled, because
obviously
because Chris is here. One of the things I know that we mentioned that I think Scott actually posted the original article and he seemed to really like it. The Nightmare on Elm Street MTV commercials I thought were really cool. They were like, they would show you what looked like they were going to be like, I think like, you know, like 16 and pregnant and all that crap. They looked like they were going to show you one of those and all of a sudden like he slashes through. It's like, I thought it was pretty cool. It's simple, but they were pretty cool.
Dan, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you always reference 16 and pregnant whenever it's crap?
No, I mentioned it with MTV. That's like the only thing I think of when I think of MTV now. It's 16 pregnant.
It's not music.
It's like you have a personal hate on that or something.
I have personal hate on like exploring.
I have a personal hate on 16-year-olds pregnant.
Yeah, I mean the fact that you want them to girls are, there's stories about this. Girls are trying to get pregnant to get on that show.
Parents cast.
Really. There are worse reality shows, believe it or not.
Like what?
Jersey Shore.
No, there's that one where the beauty pageant with the little girls.
Oh God, yes.
that one's probably. What is it? My Little. Oh, I don't remember. I don't care.
Pony.
But yeah, that one just that exploits children. It's just bad.
Okay, so.
But still, I still think 16 pregnant. That's kind of bad.
It's pretty bad.
It is.
But if we combine that now, if we combine the two shows, I'm not gonna go there.
16 and pregnant and in a beauty pageant?
16 yeah. And pregnant, and my other daughter is also in this beauty pageant. She's 3.
Yeah.
Nice.
From Jersey Shore. You
know. Yes.
Oh.
With Jeff Bridges and the Cookie Monster.
Pimp my ride. All this is happening in a car that's being pimped. Oh, God.
Best show ever.
Yeah.
I really like the Conan O'Brien commercial that he did with the whole curtain and everything. I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty badass.
Very funny.
Oh, no, wait. I thought you were talking about the one where he drove off a cliff.
That's what I was just
saying. Oh, that one was hilarious.
That one was good too.
Where he's trying to create the most action-packed commercial. I like that one. That one was really cool.
Is that a nominee?
I don't think we have it in there. I don't think I listed it even. I think we covered it at some point, but I didn't see it. But they had a bunch of other ones, too, where they had those little videos for – what was that song that they were playing?
He watched his desk.
There's that. But they had a couple cool things like that where they did the whole, like, 24 hours live in the office. And
oh, yeah, the Team Conan cam or something like that.
Yeah, and they had those little 30-second spots where it was, like, about, like, missing you. Like, I ain't missing you at all. And, like, they were, like, regular people were doing, like, Conan stuff. Like, there's a stripper who's, like, doing his little, like, string dance. And yeah. Things like that. They're pretty hilarious. So he did a lot of cool stuff for that. I thought that was good. So how about fan videos? What are some cool fan videos that you saw on our site that you liked?
I remember the Scarface play, the school play. People thought that was real.
Yep.
And that was probably
fooled me.
The funniest thing is so many people were so outraged.
Yeah.
and it just, of course, it wasn't real. I think it was, College Humor or something like that?
No, it was some
random viral video director person.
Or was it just a random? Okay. Well, in any case, it was obviously not a real school play.
Yeah.
And just the reaction to that was made it great.
Yeah, it was a great video. I go with that one.
Yeah, there were... there's a lot of cool ones that people did. I mean, it's so hard because people make some really good stuff nowadays. I mean, obviously there's a lot of crap out there, but there's a lot of like those mashup ones too. And the ones where it's like the 100 cheesiest movie quotes, things like that. I like how those guys that do those really long reviews of the Star Wars movies, last year they had Attack of the Clones. And that whole series, which was 88 minutes. It's worth watching. It's a better way to spend 88 minutes than to watch the actual thing.
one video I liked, I think just came out of the tail end of 2010, was it was the compilation of all the movies where they said the lines, you look like shit.
I think that was it.
And it really just, I don't say that, and I've never said that in my life, so I don't know why so many movies go directly to that line in particular.
I don't really.
I mean, I would be a little bit more descriptive than that, but I mean, apparently.
Yeah.
Hollywood reads the same book, so.
Yeah, that was at the very end. That was good. That was around the same time they had that 3D video, too, where it's like...
Yeah, in 3D, in 3D.
In 3D, in 3D. Yeah. It's like... Because yeah. Like, that's the big promotional thing. But, yeah, there's a lot of cool mashup videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the end-of-year compilations are really good. I like, too. The one that was like 270 movies in 6 minutes, the filmography... 210 was called.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first ones we posted. That was, I thought, was the best one. But they had a lot of good ones. It's kind of cool to see those guys come out at the end, like just really kind of. It's a nice way to remember the year because like they jam pack all these movies in there. I think my favorite.
We've got to give credit to the guy who made or girl. I don't know. Being unisexual here. Or being made the assassination of Yogi Bear by the coward.
I was just about to mention that.
It looked so good. The CGI was pretty convincing, to me at least, because I was watching it on a small thing. So
yeah,
it was very good. And I'm thinking, holy crap, I can't believe they actually made this. You've got to be kidding me.
It's the guy actually is an animator, so that's why he was able to do that. But it's really well done. If you actually watch the assassination of Jesse James by the coward, somebody forward, I forget his first name. That scene is very reminiscent of that, of course. That's what they're taking it from. And it's just really well crafted. And it's really somber and like really weird and creepy, but like, and it's hilarious, especially the ending of it where like all of a sudden the credits go and it's like a funny, it's like a fun song. And he's like sitting over there at the end, like with as a rug. But
they added their own little touches in such a delicate way, the way the face in general of Yogi hits the poster of Wanted, Yogi Bear, Dead or Alive. I think that they changed just enough to kind of make it their own. I thought that video was awesome. And I guess that guy, that video was just all over the place.
Yeah.
Not only viral, but I know it wasn't in print. They were talking about it. They had an article about the guy. I think it's a real cool story how he did that.
Yeah. They've
been working on it for a while, too, before Yogi Bear even came out as the awful film that I will label it, but
yeah,
apparently you've been working on that for a while.
Yeah, it really came out well. So I mean, it's such a mix of feelings you get watching it because it's like really somber and really kind of touching, but it's like really weird, and like surreal, like that they're showing this. That's probably one of my good favorite ones. There's a lot of little ones that people kind of did. There was some, trailer mashups. I can't remember how many trailers I saw that replaced the music with the music from Inception. Like, there's so many of those. It's to the point where I was like, okay, I get it. Probably the best one was the Batman one. Like, that was really, I thought that worked out perfectly. But they did it a lot. They did, I think even with Up and stuff like that. And then they did Rent Is Too Damn Up. That was pretty funny. So it was like the Rent Is Too Damn High, but they did with all the Up characters. They cut it so that it would work that way. There's a lot of cool, I mean, mashups seem to be like the easy way where you see a lot of people doing mashups, a lot of different, like, mixing Inception with stuff, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Inception. I love that one. So I just love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So there's a lot of cool ones this year. So hopefully, wow.
Nick. That was
you and me did a few fan videos too, Dan.
Who did?
Didn't you make that Pulp Fiction reenactment for Christmas?
Yeah, I did that little one. Yeah, so it's on our it's on our movie viral YouTube. You can see it. It's like, it's just using those guys from what's it called, X something. I forget what's on there. There's a site, Extra Normal, where you can make, just using really basic animations, you can make, like, movies. And it's kind of well known for, there's a viral video where this lady's trying to buy an iPhone, and the guy's, like, saying, why don't you get what's that phone called? The HTC or something like that. The Evo or whatever. And so, like, she's like, no, I want the iPhone 4. And, like, but she doesn't have any good arguments. It's pretty funny. And so, like, it's the same software. And it's just basically the Pulp Fiction scene I did with that. So I would never nominate that for this because it's not that good.
English, motherfucker.
Do you speak it? But it's all like, that's sort of the, like, it's such an emotional scene. I'm sorry, to make it bland is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And again, I like the DJ Steve Porter. He did some really funny remixes of Scrubs and Community. So. So there's a lot of good videos this year. I mean, this is like
Mike Realm, his Iron Man 2 remix. Yep. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, he ended up actually doing another remix as a commercial. They saw that.
And
that was really cool. And
when you watch his stuff in particular, he's done a lot more than Iron Man. I know he's remixed Office Space. He's remixed Barack Obama swatting that fly. I mean, he's really talented, and I love the Iron Man commercial.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff. Him and DJ Steve Porter have kind of a similar style, and I really like both of them because that's not just mashing up stuff; it's like really creating really cool remixes, and that really obviously showcases your talent. Mike Rums does some really cool stuff. He's been featured on like Barely Political and stuff like that. This one's definitely some good. Like I said, this is our first year we've really focused on viral videos. We did a little bit at the end of last year. I hope people kind of like those things. I think it's good, especially with the fan ones, kind of get people. To when people do stuff that's really cool, I think it's worth showing it off. So, yep, and that's kind of the big stuff I think that we have for our site, and that kind of is a good way of summing up the year. It was a pretty good year in Varl. You know, we had obviously Tron Legacy was our big one of the year, but we got some surprisingly good ones in like Crazies and Let Me In and stuff like that. Some ones that maybe we didn't think in Reap 'Em In, obviously. I didn't think we thought we were going to get those kind of campaigns. So it was kind of cool to see that. I think last year we kind of knew what we were getting. We had, District 9, 2012. Like, it was pretty much those were the ones we knew we were going to get it. And so this year was more of a surprise. I don't think we knew what was going to happen. We weren't going to have anything until Tron Legacy. At the end of the year, we were kind of like, oh, crap. So we got kind of lucky. And I think this coming year, we have some stuff. And, we'll always be surprised. So it'd be kind of nice. Hopefully, they do some stuff from Marvel. I don't know.
And it's always going to be here. It's because it's the new thing.
Yeah, and so that's good things that we'll always have content.
They did a big jump. Like 20 movies, 20, 25 movies had viral campaigns, while compared to last year, it was less than 10.
Yeah, I mean, this is the ones that we were really able to track. This year, you definitely saw, I think people saw how well it did with the other ones like District 9 and stuff like that.
And just hopefully it doesn't become overused.
Yeah, that's always the issue. You guys got to be careful of that, but. I think you're finding new ways to be interesting. Sony. That's what it's all about. Sony. Well, this year Sony was pretty lax.
They didn't really do anything. Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Salt, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think. So, I mean, who knows? They are doing. They're not behind Battle LA, are they? Battle Los Angeles.
I don't know.
I forget if they are. So, but yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully, they keep making more interesting stuff and. Than just keeping the same old. Let's make a couple websites. I think this year was a good year of kind of showing that kind of stuff that you can do. So,
viral campaign for Super 8 started off this year.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, this year we have Super 8 too. Yeah. So, I mean, that's J.J. Abrams, his very unique style of Arrow campaign. So, hopefully, that's something that kind of picks up. It's kind of
so far so good.
Yeah. And by the way, since I got disconnected when you were talking about the viral element stuff, I would have to say if it could be nominated, the ice cream truck for Rocket Puppeteers beats the shit out of all that NCOM stuff, but that's just me.
That
ice cream truck was awesome.
Right. That was cool.
Definitely better than a press conference.
Yeah, totally.
You get ice cream. I mean, come on.
Sure. That's true. I mean, how can you beat ice cream, let's be honest?
Tangled, I guess.
Tangled concept art.
Yeah. That's about it.
There you go.
Don't remind me.
And that was 2010. So that's it for you guys. Like I said, on Monday we'll have all the nominees up so you guys can vote. We'll give you a whole week to vote for what you thought was your favorite campaign. You know, keep listening. We'll, like I said, our next Viralcast should be 2011 preview, hopefully in a week or so. And we'll maybe talk about some of the winners that we had from the awards. And we'll try to do some more viral casts this year. I can't talk. I can't talk all of a sudden. It's getting late.
We do viral campaigns?
We're going to do our own viral campaign. We should, actually. That'd be kind of cool.
Be fun.
Yeah,
we should. Why not?
But we'll definitely do some more viral casts, hopefully. We'll try to get some guests on. I'll try to get Kevin from over at Fused Film. Try to get some other guys, too. Obviously, we'll continue to try to get special guests as much as we can. And we'll be here. So I hope you guys enjoyed our review. Thanks for you guys for being on with us, especially Zach for last minute being here.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, and that is it for 2010 and welcome 2011.